You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere. Here are your hosts, Matthew Leach and Paul Hagan.
Hi, everybody. This is Paul Hagan. I'm here with Matthew Leach on MLB.com Extras. We're going to talk about the Boston Red Sox, a team that was disappointing in the first half, but came out after the All-Star break strong, won five straight, started scoring some runs, and you know, we'll be looking to make a move here in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, they're right in the midst of a stretch that will presumably have a real big determination on how their season goes, not just the deadline, but really where they are in the standings. With Blue Jays, Rays, Blue Jays, Yankees, this is really their opportunity to make some noise in the AL East, and the way that division is set up, they're definitely not out of it yet.
We're talking with Ian Brown, the Red Sox beat writer for MLB.com. In the Red Sox came out of the All-Star break hot with five straight wins. What do you see from them that makes you think they may be able to sustain this?
Yeah, Paul. I mean, there's two different ways to look at it. One is that every team makes a run, and the Red Sox really haven't made a run this year. And this is their kind of time to where things go right for them a little bit, and they start to hit. Or the other way to look at it, the way the Red Sox fans hope to look at it is, finally this team is playing up to its ability. Finally, guys are starting to put consistent bats together. Finally, guys are starting to get results. And maybe this should have been what they were doing all along. And I think that, they've added some energy by bringing Christian Vasquez behind the plate. Some of the younger guys are starting to look a little more comfortable. So it's just, we're just going to have to wait and see if this really takes hold. And I think a lot of Red Sox players hope that they can kind of show front office and ownership before the trading deadline that this is a team worth investing in down the stretch.
Yeah, you mentioned there were some people who wondered about getting rid of a veteran presence like A.J. Pruszynski in the middle of the season, but after Vasquez got called up, the Red Sox won his first five starts. What does he bring to the team?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's two things. I don't think that A.J. Pruszynski, Paul, was ever a good fit with this team from day one, and I just, for whatever reason, the clubhouse dynamic with him in it just for some reason it just didn't fit really well, and I sort of noticed a change the day he left. It seemed like guys were looser and guys were more themselves. It seemed like sort of last year's energy, and also I think Vasquez coming up, I think he excited a lot of people. He just has an unbelievable arm. The pitchers really enjoy working with him. I think that there was some question on the pitching staff about how invested AJ really was in the game plan for the pitchers, and how involved he was with this team. So I think that that move, I don't think that you can say it's just coincidence that all of a sudden the Red Sox caught fire the day AJ Pruszynski left, because that's pretty much what happened here.
Well, what is the plan for him as far as his workload, especially now that David Ross is having problems with plantar fasciitis in his foot?
Yeah, I think they'll keep Ross to, he's definitely going to catch John Lester starts. And at least until Jake Peavy gets traded, or if Jake Peavy gets traded, I think that Ross will catch a lot of Peavy starts. And then you get a situation where Vasquez can catch De La Rosa and Buchholz and Lackey. So I think that's sort of the way that they're breaking it up right now.
Yeah, you had mentioned Jake Peavy, a hard luck pitcher all year long. I just can't seem to catch a break, and his name is involved in a lot of trade rumors. What's the latest you hear on the trade front from the Red Sox?
Yeah, I think a lot of National League teams are interested in a guy like Jake Peavy, a lot of National League contenders, because he's a guy who, every fifth day, he's going to pretty much keep you in the game. And look, his numbers are kind of mediocre this year, but you look at that 4.5 ERA he has, and that's probably about a 4 in the NL, or even high threes. I mean, the difference between the leagues. And he's a guy who's pitched, in pennant races before. And, hey, the Red Sox figure if they can get, not a great prospect, but they can get some kind of prospect for him and, get some relief from that salary, why not? The Red Sox feel they have a guy in Brandon Workman who's stuck at AAA right now who can – they think that Brandon Workman can give them pretty much the same effort Peavy's giving them right now, which is 5 or 6 innings, 3 or 4 runs. So I think that there is a lot of motivation to move Jake. He's a free agent at the end of the year, and probably not going to end up back in Boston next year. So I still think that he gets moved, before July 31.
But there are also rumors that the Red Sox could be buyers.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that selling Peavy because you're not in contention. I just think that honestly, I think that they think that their rotation isn't going to suffer much by trading Jake Peavy. He was kind of a missing piece last year to this team, but I think right now they feel like their rotation is in pretty good shape with or without him. But, yeah, if they, the Red Sox keep playing well, you know, they maybe they will go out and get another bat. I mean, this team could still use, you know, some more offense, maybe another piece or two of the bullpen. So, hey, if they compel Ben Cherington, kind of give him a reason to buy, you know, once we get to that trade deadline, I think he will. But still, it's still kind of on the players to sort of make that last push here and see, you know, are you within five games? Because I think, you know, if you're within five games for a playoff spot, that, you know, those are the kind of teams that buy. And right now, it's you know, they're fluttering between six CAC and the wild card and 7.5 back in the division. So it's just they need to inch a little closer.
I know that John Lester said he didn't want to talk about his contract situation during the season, but in light of the sort of curious Cole Hamels rumors that floated around recently, is there anything new on that?
Yeah, you know, the Cole Hamels thing, Paul, the way I look at it is, it's amazing how many things get floated this kind of, you know, this time of year, so teams can try to get, you know, they can try to get leverage. So, you know, maybe the Red Sox are making those rumors out, you know, so they can you know, they can see if they can re-engage Sean Lester's camp. So I wouldn't read too much in the Cole Hamels stuff, but I think still the Red Sox, I think they have a pretty good idea what it would take to sign Sean Lester right now. So, you know, if they want to come forth with that offer that Lester's looking for, I think that Lester will listen. But, you know, Lester's not going to listen to anymore. You know, I think he felt the first offer was kind of a lowball offer. So, you know, if they get serious, they know where to find him.
The big disappointment probably in the first half of the Red Sox was the offense. Seems to have been a little better lately, since the All-Star break at least. And Shane Victorino's back. How big of a role does he play in getting the offense moving?
Yeah, I think Victorino's a key piece for this team, you know, and they've missed him a lot this year. And if he can sort of get on a little roll here, you know, that's a guy that this offense basically hasn't had all year. He also means a lot to them defensively. He means a lot to them from an energy standpoint in the clubhouse. Shane Victorino, I think that his absence and the impact it's had on this team's success or lack thereof has kind of been an underplayed story this season, because I think they missed him a lot when you look at just how much he meant to that team last year, how many games he helped them win last year with both big hits and big catches in the outfield.
Is he able to play every day, or are they going to have to watch his workload a little bit, at least in the beginning?
I think right now you're looking to watch it a little bit, and, you know, maybe you're looking at, I think you're looking at 4 to 5 games a week with Victorino, and, you know, if the team really gets back in contention and he really starts to play well, then, you know, then maybe he can sort of reassume his workload that he's been accustomed to. But you don't want to rush it right now. The one thing you always want him to play is left-handed pitching, because his strength is still, even though he's exclusively a right-handed hitter right now, you know, his strength is still always going to be against lefties. And you have a little bit of a logjam for playing time right now anyway, where, you know, with Brock Holt and Nava and Bradley and, you know, Victorino now. So there's going to be an odd man out every day anyway, so it kind of blends in well right now with that they can give him a day or two off a week.
He was pretty much a two-hole hitter last year. He's been hitting down in the order since he came back. What's the thought process behind that, and do you expect that to last?
Yeah, no, I think that they just want to kind of keep the pressure off him right now. And I think eventually you're going to see Victorino, at least he's going to hit second against lefties. You know, and then against righties, I think right now they like Daniel Nava hitting second. He's been, you know, he's sort of regained his form here the last 2 weeks. So I think that, you know, Victorino hitting second against lefties and Nava against righties, you'll probably see that for a while.
So as we sit here today, what's your best guess of what the Red Sox may do between now and July 31st?
Yeah, so I think they'll do something. You know, presuming they can get, you know, within 3 or 4 games, I think they'll try to find a bat, you know, whether it's, you know, they could certainly use another bat really from either side of the plate. I mean, this team has kind of been lacking offense. You know, they could really use an outfielder who could hit. So if there's a fit out there on the market, I wouldn't be surprised if they do something like that. And also, I think they could use another bullpen arm too. So I said one bat and one bullpen arm.
That's Ian Brown, Red Sox beat reporter for MLB.com.